For that, though, let's go to Copenhagen, from where delegates to the climate summit have been returning home. On their way from the city's hotels to the airport, ministers and advisers clutching copies of the accord rather than the legally binding treaty they were aiming for might at least get some cheer if their limo happens to drive them across the Dronning Louise's Bro. Now, that's Copenhagen's most famous bridge, and it's been livened up recently by a bright and vivid digital display that, since May, has been giving a real-time tally of the number of bicycles crossing the bridge, over 2 million to date. Well, to find out why the city's put the display there, I joined Stefan Rasmussen. He's head of traffic design for the city of Copenhagen.
We are right outside the city centre of Copenhagen, and this is the Queen Louise's Bridge. And it's actually the place in Copenhagen where we have most cyclists, more than 37,000 cyclists per day.
And you can say that with a lot of confidence, because this isn't based on estimates, but you're measuring on a minute-by-minute basis how many cyclists are coming across this bridge, aren't you?
We're just standing here with a piece of electronics where each cyclist is measured, and we can see today, up to now, 2,673 cyclists passed this place.
And we know that because it's actually emblazoned on a great big LED display. So as you ride onto the bridge, you can see the counter. And so you're seeing it in real time.
It's part of motivating more people to use the cyclists every day. 37% of all trips to work and education is by bike.
And we've seen some of how that's assisted by technology. Part of it is measuring through this loop in the cycle lane, the number of people coming over. But how else are you using computing technology and so on to integrate bicycles with the traffic in Copenhagen?
We are using a lot of systems to improve safety for cyclists. If you just look at the other side of the insect, you can see the green sign for cyclists.
Right, so cyclists have their own traffic signals here.
Yes, and we are giving green for cyclists before the cars.
And I guess that's one of many ways that you're giving cyclists priority over the cars, using the way that the computers control the intersections and the traffic signals here.
Yes.
Then
we have what we call a green wave for cyclists. When you come to the city from the outskirts of Copenhagen, then you pass 17 intersections, signalized intersections. If you go by 20 kilometers per hour, then you have green all the way into the city. We are using four main computerized programs, the morning peak, the day and the afternoon peak, and then the night traffic. And within these main programs, we can regulate the details. As for example, this one, the 17 intersections are all linked. We can program the lights, so whatever policy we use to promote cyclists or buses, then we can use the program for that purpose.
Are you kind of joining this all up with the bus network then?
Yes, it's quite complicated actually. Very often buses and cyclists are competing for time in the intersections, but we are using a GPS system for the buses. When buses are arriving to the intersections, they will send a signal by radio via satellites, and then when they come to an intersection, then we can get them longer green time. The intersection is, so to speak, waiting for the bus.
What about the safety aspect? Lasers play a part here, do they? Can you tell me about these lasers?
Yes. We have had a number of very serious accidents between right-turning trucks and straightforward going cyclists. And then we are introducing a scheme with a technology with lane lights. We have lights running along the bicycle path, so the truck driver in his mirror can see the lights coming. And when he sees the lane lights, he will know that there's a cyclist on the way.
The bikes are detected in some way, are they?
Yeah.
So you get a warning light that the trucker can see.
Yeah. They're detected by two loops. In the red light situation, there's a loop just at the intersection with the stop line. Cyclists waiting for green, actually, will turn on the lane lights. And then there's another loop 25 meters from the intersection, and it's the green light detector. So when the traffic is moving, the lane lights, the loop will also detect cyclists coming into the green light situation.
Stefan Rasmussen there. So, Bill Thompson, you have quite an interest in this story because you're not just a technology person, you are a cyclist big time, aren't you?
Well, I live in Cambridge where you really cycling is the only way to get around. So, yes, for several decades I've been cycling around Cambridge, and frankly, this is a city where they can't even be bothered to grit the snow-covered cycle lanes. So I'm really quite envious of what the people in Copenhagen are getting.
Now, Bill, that's not a digital point. That's just a rant.
It is, but if you've nearly fallen off your bike, you'd want to rant too. Because it's really fascinating to see the intelligent application of technology, the sensor network, the computer systems behind it, really being used to transform the experience for cyclists in a way that would have been unthinkable 10 years ago, just because computer technology has become so affordable, so pervasive, the networks are there, everything you need is there. So this is really an interesting approach to take.
And I suppose, I mean, speaking there to Stefan, he's like the traffic policy person in Copenhagen, so this must be a useful tool to him, all this data coming in apart from anything.
Absolutely, and you got it perfectly right there. It's a tool. What they've managed to do is by putting in the advanced technology, by putting in the sensors and all the other stuff and writing the software, they've allowed him to manage the traffic flow to pursue their goals, public policy goals like improving the flow of traffic, encouraging cycling, and also, you know, more important goals like not squashing cyclists under trucks. And I think there comes a point where you put enough technology into a situation, that happens. New possibilities emerge. You can start to play it, if you like, almost like a musical instrument, whereas previously you would have had very clumsy ways of managing, in this case, the encouragement to cycling.
All right. Well, Bill, thank you very much for that. And I bet they do grit the cycle path in Copenhagen. If you live there, let us know. And incidentally, if you'd like to see what that digital display showing all the numbers of cyclists going through looks like, then we have done a little video for you, and it's on the aforementioned Facebook group. And we're even filming this bit right now. Well, finally, we're going to...